I don't care if you ascended to the most powerful position on planet Earth and you had so much riches you couldn't possibly spend it your entire life. If you wind up here, it is the epitome of failure. Not only the inner torment, but the outer torment of the wrath of God. God's righteous wrath against sin being poured out. You know, you hear about hell, about spiritual death being separation from God. And I know I've said this many times before. It's not separation from God completely. It's separation from the love of God. Separation from the fellowship of God. It's actually connection with the presence of God's wrath. God is not absent from hell, but his blessing is absent from there, and his wrath is poured out against all unrighteousness, because God never changes. He always judges sin. He will never wink at sin. And so in hell, you are always the object of his wrath, forever and forever and forever and forever. And I, you know, I like to be a socially gracious guy, and I like to speak as gently and as winsomely as possible, but I dare not compromise the words of Jesus Christ. He used these strong words, probably the strongest language in all of Scripture. Not because he wanted to beat us up over our sins, but because he doesn't want us there. He does not want you to go to hell. He would rather die than to see you go to hell. In fact, he'd rather be tortured and die than to see you go there. He gave everything he had, his own breath, to ensure that we don't have to go. Now, we know that if a person repents of their sin and comes to Christ in faith, when they turn from sin and turn to Christ, believing that he died to pay that penalty for them, believing that he rose from the dead, and when they turn from sin and say, God, I don't have the power, but I know you do. I'm going to trust in you. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I believe in you. Help my unbelief. God, save me. I believe in your son, Jesus. We know by the gospel that when someone does that, they are saved, are they not? God's promise to us. We don't earn salvation. He gives it graciously to us when we come humbly, in faith and repentance to Christ. He gives it freely. It's the free gift of his grace. So when he talks about this sin, he's talking about a sin that keeps somebody from repentance. Repentance is not... Repentance literally means, in the Greek metanoia, it means a change of mind. I no longer look at my sin and justify it and rationalize it and make every excuse for it. I see it as wrong. And I say, God, I confess, I agree with you, it was wrong. I don't want to do that anymore. Save me. So we repent from our sin, we have a change of mind about sin, and we place our faith in Christ, believing that he is able to save us to the uttermost. So when he talks about this sin, he's talking about a sin that would keep us from repentance, a sin that we don't want to part with, a sin that we still want to justify in our mind, a sin that keeps us in denial, where we refuse to admit that we have a problem, that we need a Savior. We think, I'm all right, I can do this on my own. You religious guys, go ahead and do that. I don't need that. I'm okay. And this sin blinds us. It deceives us. Sin does that. It lies to us and deceives us and keeps us in bondage and denial. It's a sin, and when you look at this, it's a sin that keeps us from repentance, keeps us from coming to Christ. When you look at this sin that he describes, it has an addictive quality to it. It's a habitual sin, an addictive sin, because he didn't say, if your right hand has caused you to sin. He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, it continually keeps you from Christ, continually keeps you in bondage, over and over and over. It's an addictive type of sin that has you in bondage and keeps you from everlasting life. He says, whatever that sin is, know this, it is not worth going to hell over. So if your hand causes you to sin, or your eye causes you to sin, if your foot causes you to sin and keeps you from life, cut it off. Now, let's get real. How does your foot cause you to sin? I'm sitting here and I try to, really take this thing apart and really look at every word. I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. There's not a whole lot of sin you can do with your foot. I mean, you might kick somebody's butt if they're rooting for the wrong football team next week. That would be a sin. I mean, the motive would be good. You're all good intentions. You're trying to get them to snap out of it. But, you got to love them. How do you sin with your foot? Let me suggest this. It's when your feet take you someplace that you ought not go. Now, back then, you had to go somewhere to sin a lot of times. And your feet would take you there. So whether it's in real life, whether you go to a strip club or whether you go to some kind of, illicit movie or whether you go to some drug dealer in the neighborhood or whether you go over to your neighbor's house to gossip or commit adultery or to argue and beat up on them, whether you go to whatever it is that your spending just compels you to go because you're trying to you have this spending addiction, whatever it is in real life, don't go there. But in today's culture, you don't have to go there with your feet. You can travel there virtually in cyberspace. And you have a whole lot of people traveling a whole lot of places that they ought not to be. And if your foot causes you to sin in real time or in virtual cyberspace, cut it off. Because when you go there, you wind up sinning with your hands and your eyes as well. How many people heard of Fred Antonelli? Couple. Wonderful, godly man. What a guy. He's a counselor, a psychologist over in Easton. He has a Christian counseling practice in Easton. He's a doctor, Dr. Fred Antonelli. He used to be a pastor of a large church in Delaware. Now he's got his doctorate. He's a Christian counselor. He sponsored a purity summit in Salisbury this weekend. We had the poster up there on the wall about it. And it was Friday and Saturday. I was able to attend Friday. Powerful presentation. And I only got the first half. And the keynote speaker was a woman. I don't know her. I forget her. I don't think I ever knew her last name. Her first name was Sue, I think. Sue was the keynote speaker, a recovering sexual addict. Powerful testimony. Gripping. I mean, we heard like 3 or 4 testimonies Friday night. Gripping stuff. Powerful stuff about how the Lord Jesus is able to completely and utterly save us from sin and addiction. And she said, if sexual addiction is like a hurricane, then it would be like Hurricane Katrina. And with the advent of technology like the internet and iPhones and things like that and mobile cell phones, we are only beginning to see the first rain bands of the hurricane, because this thing is exploding so quickly, so exponentially, that by the time the wall of this storm really hits, it's going to be mind-blowing. And I got to tell you, she gave us some statistics that already have blown my mind. And she says, this is just the outer rain bands. The storm hasn't even hit in all of its power yet. It's exploding, especially because of technology. Now, I don't have an hour to give the stats that she gave, but I just wanted to really quickly touch some of these things. Nothing short of staggering. Adults, when we talk about adults, 70%, 7 out of 10, 18 to 34-year-old men visit porn sites monthly. Go in a restaurant and look at 10 men in the restaurant. 7, if they're between 18 to 34, 7 out of 10 of them visit porn sites monthly. 1 out of 3 visitors to all adult websites are what? Women. Women. 1 out of 3. This rocked my world. 20% of men, 1 in 5, 13% of women admit to accessing porn at work. At work. That'll cost you your career. Not just your job. How do you get another job? That could cost you your career. How about teens? 12 to 17-year-olds are the largest consumers of internet porn. The largest group of people accessing this stuff range in age from 12 to 17. 90% of ages 8 to 16 have viewed porn online. Age 8. Do you know the average age of a person's first exposure to internet porn is 7.5 years old? That's our kids. 90% of our kids. $1 billion, this was in 2005, $1 billion in revenue for mobile porn, cell phone porn. In 2005, back then it was expected to triple in the next 3 years. I don't know what it did in 2008. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. And that's just cell phone. Not to mention, you know, the internet and access that's there right now. How about revenue? This will. Porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC together. Porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of all professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises. Porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, Netflix, and Earthlink combined. I think we have a problem. Wow. Sexual addiction is a huge problem in our society, and it hasn't even peaked yet. It's only just begun. This is the beginnings of the explosion. All addictions are. We are awash in drug and alcohol addiction, spending addiction, sexual addiction, all you name it. There's just a host of addictions out there. It's mind-blowing. What do we do about that? Yeah. I was going to bring an axe today. I forgot to. I just got busy. I was going to literally bring an axe and say, you know, cut it off. Here's Johnny. You shouldn't be watching them movies. What do we do about it? Part of the problem, with all noble intentions, I'm guilty myself. Part of the problem is this. When preaching deals with these things, guy gets up in the pulpit and says, cut your hand off if it causes you to sin. Part of the problem is, or even, you know, authors who write books about this stuff, some very respected, good, well-known authors. Part of the problem is they identify the problem, and that brings shame.